Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center is our fabulous producer, does a fabulous job all week long, every day, all week, so we always appreciate his help and hard work. He is why, within 15 minutes of the end of our interview, you will see on the WKOK podcast page, Pocket Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcasts, that our interviews are present there. In the studio with us now, Movie Mike McGranahan is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website's aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker, member of the Critics' Choice Association. You saw their winning selections not too long ago, last week or 2 weeks ago. He's a member of the Online Film Critics Society, boy, author, and not prolific tweeter, but pointed tweeter, at aisleseat. And his appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg. The Lost City. What's your view on that particular film?
In The Lost City, Sandra Bullock plays a romance novelist who is kidnapped by eccentric billionaire Daniel Radcliffe and forced to help locate an ancient treasure hidden near a volcano that may soon erupt. Did you ever notice that ancient treasures in movies are never hidden in, like, New Jersey or somewhere easy to get to? Bullock's cover model, played by Channing Tatum, wants to prove he's more than just a pretty boy, so he sets out to rescue her. Together, they face a series of dangers while also starting to develop an attraction to each other. To be honest, the whole plot here is pretty stupid. Nevertheless, The Lost City works because of the chemistry between Bullock and Tatum. They're really funny together, and the movie generates a lot of laughs from their interactions during the hazards they face. One of the comic high points come when they cross a river, and his backside gets covered in leeches, which she has to pull off. That could have been a cheap gag, but the stars play it so well that it becomes hilarious instead. The romantic spark between them is nice, too. With its sharp dialogue, clever scenarios, and strong work from the cast, The Lost City is an enormously fun romantic comedy adventure with a dumb story. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Fabios.
Oh, okay. Well, it was interesting. You know, the trailer, of course, I always see the trailers on these things, and it looks like it could be okay, you know, a good way to, like a sort of a date movie kind of thing, you know, it's nothing harmless about, or nothing harmful about it. The kids can see it and so on. So, 3, what was it?
Fabios.
Okay.
Because, you know, Channing Tatum's kind of a Fabio-like character. He's on the covers of all her romance novels, and the women who read the novels love him. So,
well, and tell me about this chemistry. This is real chemistry between the two that you detected?
Yeah, they're really funny together. Their comic sensibilities line up. And like I said, the story is so dumb. You won't care about the treasure. You won't care about the lost city. It's basically just another retread of Romancing the Stone. But Bullock and Tatum are just, they really click together, and they play off of each other hilariously. And then you've got Daniel Radcliffe, who comes in and does this, you know, really amusing, over-the-top oddball villain. Brad Pitt has a small role as this very serious Navy SEAL who's also trying to save Sandra Bullock, and he's funny. So the performances of the actors, they come to play, and they've got room to explore the quirks of their characters, and that compensates for the dumbness of the story.
Okay. So the good actors save this particular film, or, you know, take it up to a new level. Let's talk about the individual actors themselves. Sandra Bullock, we haven't seen too terribly much from her lately, right?
She's done a few things. I mean, she tends to take breaks, and I know she's planning to take another break now. She had a movie on Netflix last year called The Unforgivable, which I thought was one of the worst movies of last year.
Was it Unforgivable?
So it's kind of nice, yeah. So it's kind of nice to see her in something good again. But she hasn't made a comedy in a while, and she's back here flexing her comedic muscles and being funny and, you know, kind of more in that vein again, which is always fun to see.
Are we still waiting for her to make her best film ever?
No, I don't think so. I think she's made quite a few. I mean, Gravity, I thought, was a great film and really showcased her talents well. Speed, of course, is an action classic. She won an Oscar for The Blind Side, a movie I'm not actually that big a fan of. I think that movie's kind of not as good as its reputation suggests, but she was fine in it.
Okay. Other folks, Tatum, in that film, he got a good opportunity to showcase what he does well, which is that sort of half-comedy, half-serious shtick.
Yeah, I mean, he really has proven his comedic muscle time and time again, and he's having a great spring. He's also starring in Dog, which has been a sleeper hit and a very consistent box office performer, and that's also a good movie. So he's got two here that are coming out around the same time and are both good movies and both good showcases for him.
All right, good. Well, everybody likes Dogs, so that's in his favor.
Yeah, really good film.
All right. Infinite Storm, you saw that. Tell us about that. Oh, well, first of all, The Lost City in theaters?
In theaters.
Oh, okay. Infinite Storm.
Yes, this also opens in theaters today, and this is based on a true story. Naomi Watts plays a search and rescue nurse who goes for her annual hike up Mount Washington, and while she's up there, a massive storm hits that limits visibility, drops the temperatures. She turns around to head back, and she spots an underdressed man half unconscious in the snow. And so she decides to rescue him, but the guy is kind of ambivalent about being rescued. And so the first hour and 10 minutes of the movie are about her efforts to try to save this guy who doesn't necessarily want to be saved. I don't know where they filmed this movie or how they filmed it, but it looks and feels authentic. It's one of those movies where you kind of grip the armrest of your chair because you feel like you're right there in the middle of the storm.
You don't
want
to get blown
them.
Away.
Right. Now, the last half hour, you know, the rescue ends about 70 minutes into the movie, and the last half hour is where they start to introduce us to these people. I think that it makes sense that they don't tell us the guy's story until the end, because that's how the real-life woman found out, but I think that they should have told her story at the beginning, because it would have added depth to her desire to save this guy and let us get to know her a little more. So that's a bit of a flaw, but I think it's worth seeing, because it is an intense survival drama, and Naomi Watts is great, so 3 stars for Infinite Storm.
Okay. X.
This is a horror movie. I love this movie. Oh. This is set in 1979, and it's about a group of people who rent the guest house on this old farm in order to shoot an adult film. And when the owners, the elderly owners of the house, find out, things become very bloody and very gruesome, and that's all I'll say about that. But this is from a writer-director named Ty West, a really interesting horror filmmaker who always makes ambitious movies. And on the one hand, this delivers all the sex and nudity and gore that you could want from a movie with that concept. But at the same time, it also has some really interesting things to say about art forms that have been considered disreputable and whether or not you can take those art forms and make actual art out of them, out of genres that are considered disreputable. So there's a little bit of undercurrent there, self-commentary about filmmaking. So it's called X. It's not for everybody. You have to really like edgy entertainment, but I thought it was fantastic. So 3.5 stars for that.
Oh, 3.5. Okay, so you like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
And where is that?
That is also in theaters.
Theaters. Oh, wow. Okay. The trailer makes it look like it might be a Netflix or Amazon. You know, it doesn't sound like it would go to broad circulation, but obviously it is. Okay, so that's X. That's out there. Taron Egerton, who you have to immediately... First of all, who's Taron Egerton?
He's an actor. He played Elton John in Rocket Man and also starred in the first 2 Kingsman movies.
Okay, yeah. Always got to start out. Who is this fella? He tested positive, but he had a lot of trouble doing some stuff.
Yeah, he tested positive for COVID-19. After about a week or week and a half ago, he passed out while performing on stage. Fortunately, he claims that he was not hurt in that incident of losing consciousness, but he's had some health problems there, and we wish him well. And like I said, he did test positive for COVID in the wake of that spell, so wishing him the best.
All right, the Immersive Prince exhibit is open. They open this for you. I know that there's a Chicago trip in your future now.
Yes, a new interactive exhibit called Prince, the Immersive Experience is set to open in Chicago on June 9th, and the exhibit will feature a partial recreation of Prince's Paisley Park studio, archival material from various eras of Prince's career, and a special 3D representation of the iconic Purple Rain album cover. So if you're a Prince fan as I am, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, and my lovely bride and I went down to Upper Darby to see the Van Gogh immersive experience with his story and his artwork portrayed on the walls and music and so on. Really, really, really interesting. You really just wanted to dwell and think about it, and you got into it. So with his music, of course, Van Gogh had no music, so they improvised there, but the artwork and the images were great and the narration. So you're saying with the immersive Prince experience, that's getting positive reviews?
I mean, it looks like it's going to be a big hit. Yeah, I can't imagine any serious music fan or any serious Prince fan not being interested in that. And certainly when you look at his performances, you know, his music was electric, but so is his performances, his live performances and things. So this should be a really amazing event.
Train, fly, or car?
To go to Chicago, I'd probably take a train.
A train, okay. Yeah, that would be
fun. I don't do flight.
Okay, so you're not a flyer, but you... Well, trains are fun, too. I've done that, and I've done flying, so I've never driven to Chicago. That doesn't sound like much fun. Probably take about 2 days or so. Okay, so that is that. We have the Oscars on Sunday, correct?
Sunday night, yeah.
Who's hosting?
It's going to be Amy Schumer, Regina Hall, and I want to say Wanda Sykes.
Okay, that sounds about right. And we never talked about the best director, Kenneth Branagh for Belfast, Roski Hamaguchi for Drive My Car, Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza, Jane Campion for Power of the Dog, and Steven Spielberg of West Side Story. I'm assuming Power of the Dog's going to keep on stealing the headlines here.
I'm not sure. The movie Coda, which we've talked about quite a bit in the last year, is making a late surge. It's peaking at just the right time. It won the Producers Guild Award. It won the top award at the SAG Awards. And so there's a real possibility that Coda could be the surprise Best Picture winner come Sunday night. Power of the Dog has been considered the front runner, but it looks like it could be Coda.
Okay. And Best Director, where are you on that particular category?
I think Jane Campion probably will win that one. The director of Coda was not nominated, so I think that one is probably Jane Campion's to lose.
All right, so Sunday night, 8 p.m. Let's see. Yeah, Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, and Regina Hall doing that. And I know where you'll be Sunday night, down
Absolutely.
In your viewing room. Movie Mike McGranahan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. Whether it's on Netflix or some other cable or downloading or you're going to the theater, check out aisleseat.com. Probably the movie's there. If it's been out for a couple weeks, it's probably already there. And in many cases, reviewed. His appearance on WKOK, always sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.